Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Nedarim, Daf Samach Gimel. We actually got to the very top of Samach Gimel Omer Aleph yesterday, but we'll go back a little bit and just chasru over quickly from the two dots on the bottom of Samach Beis Omer Beis, two lines from the bottom. And we brought down the statement yesterday from Rabbi Zeira. Omer Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira had said, machlokes, we had a machlokes in the mission between the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, and Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel, in regards to if a person said, I asked myself to have wine, ad hagishomim, if he says, I asked myself to have wine until the rains come. We spoke yesterday about the first rains, the second rains, and the third rains. So if he said hagishomim in the plural, so that was the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel. Did it mean until the actual rains came, like the Chachamim said, or it was until the Zman, the time that the rains normally come, even though the rains haven't come yet? That was the machlokes that Rabbi Zeira says was in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rosh Hashanah Gamaliel. However, Aval, everybody's moda, even the Chachamim are moda to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. If the person said, I asked myself to have wine, Omer ad hageshem, until geshem in the singular, so then, ad zman gishomim kamar, it means until the time that the second rain is supposed to come. That's the way the Ran learns this, until the second rain is supposed to come. And zman revia shniyah, in the last words of the Ran, Dibra Maslow, achlokes, the Omer ad hageshomim, and therefore, in that situation, there is no machlokas. There it's till the time that the rain comes and not till the actual rains come. That's what we had learned at the end of yesterday's shir. And now we turn to Samach Kimel Amud Aleph and begin today's shir fresh. Gemara questions Rabbi Zeira and says, Meisre, we have a brisa, this is Gemara in Tainis, that tells us that a Tosefta there, that tells us the following argument against Rabbi Zeira. The brisa tells us, Ezoi zmano shel revia. What is the time for the first rain? Again, yesterday we spoke, the word revia means like crouching on the ground, pooling on the ground. When the rains come down, they pool and crouch on the ground. So what is the zman for the first rains, second rains, and third rains? So this is a three-way machlokas. We had alluded to this yesterday. Again, this is all really fundamentally found in the Gemara in Tainis, where it deals with Tanesim. We would have fasts that would be set up by Chachamim in situations when the rains Nebuch didn't come. Eretz Yisrael is very dependent upon rain, as opposed to, we're learning now in the parashos of Mitzrayim, of the Nilus, the Nile, rising up and supplying. That's why the Egypt, it was called the breadbasket of the world at that time, because the Nile regularly rose and flooded the land and provided water to the land. They weren't dependent upon rain. In Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we're dependent on rain, so we constantly have to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. In any event, what is the time for the first rain? Habachira, the first rain, Bishlosha, and as the Ram points out, this is dealing with the month of Cheshvan. So the rains are supposed to start for the third day of Cheshvan, the first rains. Beninis, the middle rains, they start Bishiva. A few days later, 4 days later, that's already the second days on the seventh of the month of Mar Cheshvan. And then the third, which is called the Afila, the Afila is a Lashon of Achrona, the Ran tells us. The Esimu Shlosha is the 23rd. So, according to the opinion of Divri Rav Meir, this is the order 3rd of Cheshvan, 7th of Cheshvan, and 23rd of Cheshvan. No simple pattern between them. Those are just the dates. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Bishiva on the 7th of Cheshvan, Bishiva also on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, and the Esimu Shlosha on 23rd. Here, there's also no set pattern. 7, 17, and 23. And Rabbi Yossi, the final opinion, says as follows. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shiva asar on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, b'esrim shloshah, the 23rd, 7 days later, b'chodesh Kislev, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev was another 7 days later. A little bit of a pattern over here. He says 17, 23, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And in fact, v'chein hoya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi additionally added, ein ha'yechid de misanin, the individuals wouldn't start the fast, which I'll explain in a moment what that means, actually here Rosh Chodesh Kislev, if the rains hadn't come by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so we're obviously not having the first, second, or third rains yet by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so that was a sign that we better start fasting and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and give us the rains. Now, the Gemara in Tainis outlines a whole series of fasts that Klal Yisrael would do. And the first series of fasts were not done by all of Klal Yisrael. They were only done by Yechidim. As the Ran says, Talmidei Chachamim, HaMis'alin U'Mispalin Al HaGishom, that initially, when the rains were delayed in coming, so Yechidim, the unique, special Talmidei Chachamim, they would go start fasting and davening Kodesh Baruch Hu for rain. If the rain still didn't come by a certain time, so then the Chachamim decreed a fast on all of Klal Yisrael, a series of Beis, Hei, Beis fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday fasts, three fasts. They were similar to the fasts that we have on non-Tisha B'Av, non-Yom Kippur. They would start in the morning and they would end at nightfall. If those rains still didn't come after those three fasts, the Chacham decreed another set of fasts which had a little bit more stringency to them, another Beis Hei Beis series of fasts. And if the rain still didn't come, then they instituted a series of very strict fasting similar to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur for seven times. And if the rain still didn't come after that, so then they did other things as well. But that's the fasting that we're talking about. First, the Yechidim, and that's what our Mishnah Bryce over here just mentioned from Rav Yossi. And then they had a series of three fasts, and seven fasts. In any event, how is this a kasha on Rav Zeira's statement that the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamaliel don't argue if he said the word Ad HaGeshem? They all mean it means till the time of the Geshem. So we said about this Braisa, Bishlama Raviyah Rishona, we understand that the Raviyah Rishona, what's the purpose of having the first rains? So Lishal, at that point, we begin start saying the same Talamot Livracha in the davening. As the Ran says, the same Talamot Livracha, Bericha Sashanim, in the Baracha, Berech Hashanim. So we start asking the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same Talamot that we should get rain. Right, Mashiv Ruach Merne Goshem is acknowledging that we do already on Sukkot stuff, but we don't want the rains to come yet. Then we acknowledge that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one that brings the rains, and at a certain point in time, again, different opinions according to these three Tanoim, we start asking actually Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring us the rain by adding saying Talamot Levracha in our Shemoneh Esrei. In Eretz Yisrael, the custom is to start on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. That is when all of the Klai Yisrael, even from the furthest distances in Eretz Yisrael, from the Beis HaMikdash, would be able to get back to their houses, and nobody would be inconvenienced by having rain at that point in time in their travels. In Chutz Laaretz, so we do it by the Kufas Teves, it's at 60 days after the start of the season, and for us that translates at our time, in our century, at this point in time, to be either December 4th or sometimes December 5th. In any event, we're not going through the whole calendar right now, but the bottom line is, so we understand why you have the first rains, there's a specific purpose, that's the time that we should start saying Sitalimot Levracha. We understand the last rains, the Afela, Shlishes, that's Lisanos. If the rains haven't come by them, so then the Yechidim start to go and fast. Okay, what's the purpose of the middle rains? What significance do they have? Elishnilamai, what's the purpose? So on that, the Amar Rabbi Zeira, our Rabbi Zeira, he said, Lenoder, the purpose of that is to teach us that if a person made a nether, I will not have wine up until the second rains, until Revi'ah Shniyah. So that's to teach us when the Revi'ah Shniyah is. Now, Vamrina Law, and we said about that statement that Kiman Ozlo Hodetanya, who's the author of the following Braisa. The following Braisa says, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Gishamim Sheyardu Shiva Yomim Zacharze. If the rains came consecutively for 7 days, can they count as both the first rains and the second rains? Atamone Behen Revi'a Rishona Ushtia. Since it's a continuous rain, you might have thought you can't count it for both. So Rav Shimon Gamaliel is telling us it can count for both the first rains having started and the second rains having started. Now, who does this go like? Kiman Rav Yossi. This can only go like Rav Yossi. As the Ran teaches us over here, it can't be like the opinion of Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda, because the Omar, as the Ran says, Nibra Maskel Kaman Oslo, he says, the Omar, Biyud Zayin Ubuchav Gimel, he holds that it's on the 17th and on the 23rd, the first rains and the second rains, so it's a 7-day period in between them. So you could have a continuous 7-day period of rain and encompass the first and the second by exactly 7 days, as opposed to the opinion of Rav Meir. There isn't 7 days between 3 and 7. That was his opinion of the first and second rains. And according to Rabbi Huda, there is more than 7 days between 7 and 17. So neither of them would make sense to say 7-day period, you can consider it the first rains and the second rains. So it's obviously going like Rabbi Yossi. But wait a second, he's talking about specifically Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel saying that according to you, Chachamim, there has to be actual rain. I hold there never has to be rain. It's just the Zman of the rain. But you're saying over here that it has to be rain. So clearly, we're dealing over here with the second rain. So he's saying the Lashon Mistama. Right now, we're assuming he said Ad HaGeshem. And yet you see that there's a machlokis over here between the Chachamim and Rishim Gamaliel as to whether you actually have to have the rain or it's just until the Zman, the time of the rains. So it's like Kasha on Rabbi Zeru said that they agree in this situation. So where says no, very simple answer. Hahu the Omar Ad HaGeshamim. No, this Braisa, he didn't say Ad HaGeshem. He had said Ad HaGeshamim. And there everybody agrees. Rav Zeira said there is a machlokus. That's what our Mishnah is having the argument between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamaliel. If he said the words Ad HaGeshamim, so the Chachamim say it means you actually have to have the rains come. And Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, no, I hold it just has to be the Zman of the rains. But there's no raya against us, against Rav Zeira saying that they don't argue when you say Hageshem, they all agree then it's just until the Zman of the rain. This Braisa is not talking about Arageshem. This Braisa is talking about Aragishom. And therefore, in the case of Arageshem, there still could be no Machlokas. So there's no Kasha on Rabbi Zeira, and we could go on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah again tells us, Konem Yayin Sheni Toim Lashonah. If a person says, I ask myself to have wine, Lashonah. Others have the Girsa, Hashonah. In any event, he says, I will not have wine for this year. So what happens, we had this previously ready, and actually a lot of the Mishnais that we have on the Amud Beis, we've had previously, that's why there's very little Gemara. In fact, we'll end off this Perek today with a long Mishnah. Most of the Amud Beis is just the Mishnah, and there's no Gemara on it, because we've actually had most of this discussion previously. So it's a little bit of a Chazorish here today. So if the person says, I ask myself to have wine for the year, and it's a leap year. This Abra Hashanah, there's an Iber Yar. You have 2 months of Adar. So is that included in the Issa to have wine for 12 months or until the end of the year? So the Mishnah tells us, Asur Ba Ubi Ibura. So he's also to have wine until the end of the year, and that includes Adar Sheni. We don't say no, since there's an extra month here that he ends actually at Rosh Chodesh Elul. No, he goes till the end of the year, up until Rosh Hashanah. Likewise, if the person says, Ad Rosh Adar, if a person says, I ask myself to have wine until Rosh Chodesh Adar, until the beginning of Adar, so it depends. If it's a regular year, of course, it's very clear what he means. But if it's a leap year, so Ad Rosh Adar Rishon. If he says, Ad Rosh Adar, it means until the beginning of Adar Rishon, the first month of Adar. If he says Ad Sof Adar, so then the Girsa that we have is Ad Sof Adar HaRishon. It means until the end of Adar Rishon. However, there is the Ran, if you look at this Ran on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, so the Ran there has a different Girsa, and the Ran tells us in the top Ran, Dibur Maschil Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, which really belongs to, of course, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and he says, this is the Iker Girsa. Our Girsa is the correct one. When he says Ad Sof Adar, it means Ad Sof Adar Rishon. Kachi Iker Girsa. However, he says, the reasoning behind this is Mishum, the other stoma is Rishon Mashma. When a person says other stam, he means other Rishon. But then the Ram brings down Veikah the guy. See, there is another gear over here that says Atsof Adar. When it says in the Mishnah that he's also to have wine, when he says until Atsof Adar, it means Atsof Adar Sheni. It means until the end of the second month of Adar. The Mashmalay, the Shnei Adarim Kikodesh Echot Hein. According to this opinion, when he says Adar, he's really talking about both other Rishon and other Sheni, and therefore Hilkach. When he says it to the beginning, Mitzvah Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. That means it means to the beginning of the Adars, and then the Chiyomar Ad Sof Adar. So it means Mitzvah Ad Sof Adar Sheni, until the Adars, both the Adars, are done, and that's the other Girsa. But the Ram prefers the first Girsa, which is the Girsa that we have Ad Sof Adar Rishon. Okay, the Gemara starts off and says, Alma, what do you see from our Mishnah? If a person says Stam Adar, Stoma, the Adar, the Kalmar, when he says that, he means Rishon Hu. Let us say this is a Machlokes, Levin Mastis and Rav Yehuda. This is a Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, and therefore our Mishnah seems to go in accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. What did Rav Yehuda say? The Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa, that Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir had the following Machlokes. Adar HaRishon, if a person is in the month of Adar Rishon, he writes in a shtar, Kosev Adar HaRishon. He has to actually write out Adar Rishon. He should just write Stam Adar. And if he's an Adar Sheni, then he can just write Stam Adar, because everybody knows that Stam Adar means Adar Sheni. Adar Sheni, Kosev Adar Stam. He can just write Adar Stam. This is the opinion of Meir. Not like our opinion. Our opinion in our Mishnah seems to say that Stam Adar means Adar Rishon, whereas Rav Meir clearly says in this Braisa that Stam Adar means Adar Sheni. And it's Rav Yehuda Omer, Adar HaRishon, Kosev Stam. If a person writes Adar Rishon, so if that's what he means, so he can just write down Adar Stam and Adar Sheni. If he wants to write down Adar Sheni, then he has to write Kosev Tinyon. He has to write it down as Adar Sheni, the word Tinyon, like you have Madura Tinyona. It means the second one. It means Adar Sheni, so he has to specifically write it down. So you see that Stam Adar to Rav Yehuda is Adar Rishon, like our Mishnah, and Stam Adar, according to Rebbeir, is Adar Sheni, not like our Mishnah. So, who is the author of our Mishnah? Must be Lema Masnissen, Rav Yehuda Hi. Abaye says, not necessarily, Lav Dafka. Amar Abaye says, no, Afil Tem Rebbeir. Even Rebbeir could be the author of our Mishnah. Aye, how could that be? Because you could differentiate between Stam situation, according to Rav Meir, meaning Adar, Stam means Adar Sheni, that's if he knows it's a leap year. And if he just wrote down Adar in our Mishnah, so he didn't yet know it was a leap year, and therefore, even our Mishnah could be according to Rav Meir, who when a person just writes down in a regular year, in a non-Eber year, he writes down Adar. Of course it means Adar Rishon, because there is only an other Rishon. So Afilu Tema Rebbeir. Our Mishnah could even be in accord with Rebbeir, because when Rebbeir says that Stam Ador means other Sheni, he knows that there's an other Rishon, other Sheni. So he has to write down specifically other Rishon, and if he just writes Stam Ador, it obviously means other Sheni. That's Rebbeir's opinion. But in our Mishnah, he didn't know that it was a leap year. He didn't know there were two Adars, and therefore, if he wrote down Stam Adar, it means until the beginning of Adar Rishon, Hodel Lo Yoda. And therefore, even Rav Meir would say, if a guy doesn't know, then the default position is that Stam Adar means Adar Rishon, because there is only an Adar Rishon, and therefore, that's what Stam Adar would be. We turn to some Achimulam days and Vatanya, and this, as you see, both in the Ran, the Mefarish, and Tosus has the word Benichusa, and the Ran has the word Benichusa, the Mefarish has the word Siyua. So they all mean the same thing, that now Vatanya, this Brisa that we're going to bring, a Tosefta, is in support of what we just said. Because it says in the Brisa, Ad Rosh Chodesh Ador, if a person says, I ask myself to have, let's say, wine until Rosh Chodesh Ador, so Ad Rosh Chodesh Ador Rishon. It means until the beginning of other Rishon. In my Sarshon of Uberis. And if it was a leap year, so then it means Ad Rosh Chodesh Ador Hasheni. Then it means Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni. Now, the Gemara says, Michlal, that implies the Resha Lab Bimu Uberis Askinan. Are we talking about the Resha in a situation that there wasn't a leap year? Then why would he call it Ador Rishon? So obviously, the Resha is also talking about a leap year. But it said, Ad Rosh Chodesh Ador Rishon. So what's going on? It seems to be contradictory. If they're both talking about a leap year, so then why is the first part of the Brisa saying it means other Rishon, and the second part of the Brisa means it means other Sheni? So the only way to understand this Brisa is as follows. Shma mina. It all depends. Ha de pshita le de ma'abr shasa, and ha de lo yada. The Rishon is talking about he didn't know it was a leap year. So when he said, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, he meant Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. He knows a leap year, that he meant the only month in his mind of Adar, albeit it turns out it was a leap year, so he meant in that situation, we go after Lashon Bnei Adam, what the person intended, so that was Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, even though he didn't know that there would be a Sheni. So that's why it obviously means Adar Rishon. But if he knows it's a leap year, he knows it's another Rishon, another Sheni. So when he says Stam Adar, it means that it's talking about Adar Sheni. So that's how we just explained the reconciliation that Rav Meir could be the author of our Mishnah, and this Brisa clearly supports that. Hotanya b'nichusa siyua. Now we go to the last Mishnah of the 8th Perek, and you see that this is an entire rest of the daf is just this Mishnah, and there is no Gemara. Very unusual situation. But as I said, almost all this Mishnah had been discussed already previously in the Masechta. So the Mishnah starts and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda tells us the following halacha. The person says, Konim yayin sheni toem achi ha-pesach. If the person asks himself to have wine up until Pesach. So what does that mean? Lo niskavin. That this person obviously only intended Elo ad Leil Pesach, up to but not including Leil Pesach, because that's the time ad Shor Shederach Ben Yodim Lishtos Yayin. We have the din the Rabbanan, that we have to have the Dalit Kosos. So obviously, the Ran explains, a person did not intend to go and break this din of having the Arba Kosos. So when he said, I asked myself to have wine, so he only meant up to and not including the night of Pesach when he said, Ad Shiyahaya Pesach, until it is Pesach. And even though normally Ad Shiyahaya Pesach means until the end of Pesach, until Pesach is over, but here in this situation, since if he had said, I asked myself to sit in a chair until Ad Shiyahaya Pesach, would mean until the end of Pesach, but here, obviously, he didn't intend that this should go against the din, the din de Rabban of drinking Dalit Kosos on Pesach night. So he obviously, in this situation, meant only up until and not including Pesach, even though he used the Lashon of Ad Shiyahaya Pesach. Similarly, if a person said, oh my, the Mishnah continues, Konim Basar She'eni Toim, a man says, I ask myself to have wine up until Achi Hatzom, until the Tzom, meaning here Yom Kippur, which would normally mean if you use the Lashon Achi Hatzom, it means until the Tzom is over. So then, in this situation, Eino also Ela Ad Lele Tzom, he wouldn't be forbidden to eat meat only up until the afternoon of Erev Yom Kippur. But on Erev Yom Kippur, when the custom was to go and eat meat, and the Ran brings down that there's a machlokis in the Perek in Chulin of Oso Yes Beno, and you can see this in Dibur Maskil Ad Shah, the Ran tells us, the Hainu Erev Yom Kippur, Kiditan Perek Oso Yes Beno, Chulin Pegimel of Aleph, Rav Yosef Glilomer, that they also had a custom to eat meat on Af Erev Yom Kippur in the Galil, And they did this to prepare properly for Yom Kippur. As we all know, anybody who eats on the 9th is as if he fasted on the 9th and on the 10th, if you're preparing properly for Yom Kippur. So they used to have in the Galil the custom to specifically mean, and the nafkamina was that if a person sold the mother cow on Erev Yom Kippur, he had to inform anybody that he would sell the baby cow to that, listen, I sold the mother cow, Mustama the Shechti, the mother cow today, you're not allowed to go and shecht this baby cow today because of the din of Osiris. You're not allowed to shecht the mother cow and the baby cow on the same day. So therefore, you see clearly that it was a custom to go and eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur. So if a person says, I asked myself to eat meat, Achi Yatzom, meaning normally, under normal circumstances, until the end of Yom Kippur, but here it only means until Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Shelo niskavin zeh, because obviously this person's intention was only Elo ad shosh dechmini ad lecho basa, until the common time when people would eat meat. He didn't want to go against this strong custom of eating meat on Erev Yom Kippur, and therefore the person didn't obviously include that, even though he used the lashon of achi atzom, just like if he said achi apesach, he didn't mean to include the dalid kosos on Leil Pesach, so therefore his nether ends before then, so too his nether ends before Yom Kippur in this scenario as well, even though he used the Lashon of Ad Shiyahe. The Mishnah tells us that Rav Yossi Beno Omer, this was the opinion that we just had of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda had a son, Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yossi Beno Omer, and the person says, Konam, if a person asks himself, Shum is garlic, She'ani Toem, if a person says, I ask myself until it is Shabbos, meaning normally that would be a lashon until the end of Shabbos, but here, nevertheless, and also Elon Leil Shabbos, Leil Shabbos. He only here would be forbidden to have the shum up until the night of Friday night, because there was a strong custom that they would eat garlic to be mar bezera, to make themselves be more likely to have children, to be mar bezera on Friday night. The owner of the Talmud Chacham is on Friday night, once a week. So therefore, this situation, the minhag was to eat garlic on Friday night to be Mar Bezera, and Shelo Niskavin says, so this person, obviously, he said, I asked myself to have garlic up until the end of Shabbos, actually, hey Shabbos, Shelo Niskavin says, he obviously didn't intend to go against this minhag, and therefore his intention only was up until, but not including Friday night, even though he used the Lashon of Achiyahe. Mishnah continues and tells us similarly, Ha'omer l'chaveru, if a person says to his friend, and we again had all this previously, Konim shaninan elucha, I ask myself to get hanoah from you, unless im ein at ba v'notel levonecha kor echot shochitim u'shnei chavio shoyayin. Now, he wanted to give his friend a gift. The friend is a Talmud Chacham, he's a poor Talmud Chacham, he wanted to give him a gift. But he didn't want to give him a gift outright. The guy would be embarrassed to take the gift. So he says, I want to give this gift to your son. And we had explained early in the Masechta that we're dealing here with a situation where the son is living in the friend's house, and the son of the friend is dependent upon the friend, the father, to go and support him. So this person says, I want to give you a gift, Talmud Chacham. I'm giving it to your son so as not to embarrass you. He doesn't say this, but that's what he intends. And he says, unless you take this gift, I ask myself that I should get any hanoah from you. In other words, he's spurring this friend to go take the gift, so the person shouldn't be also to get hanoah from him. So, kor echad, he says, you have to go and take from me a certain measure, 30 saw of chitin, u'shnei chavios, 2 barrels of wine. In other words, he wants to give him a beautiful gift. So, the Talmud Chacham, poor friend, can say, Harei ze yochol lohofer es nidro shelo api chacham. He can go and by saying the following, he can say, V'yomalo, kalum amarti ele b'vnei chvodi, you're doing this to honor me, so zek chvodi, it's my honor not to accept the gift, and therefore the one who made the nether automatically falls apart. He doesn't even have to go to Talmud Chacham to be mati neder. Harei ze yochol lohofer es nidro shelo api chacham. He doesn't even have to go to Talmud Chacham, because so to say, the nether has been fulfilled. His whole point was to give kavod and honor and give a gift to his poor Talmud Chacham friend. And the poor Talmud Chacham friend said, Sonei matonos yichya, a person who doesn't accept gifts will live. And I thank you very much for your kind offer to give me this huge gift, give the gift to my son, which is really giving the gift to me. But he says, I don't want it. And therefore, your whole intention was, you were giving me kavod, you want to help me. And I'm saying, Zeu kvodi, it's my help, my honor, not to get the help. And therefore, it's as if you fulfilled the nether, and therefore, you don't need to do hataras nedarim with the chacham. So this is another example that we have where a person said something, like he said, Achi hei Pesach, Achi hei Atzom, Achi hei Shabbos, which normally would be the end of that period of time, the end of Pesach, the end of Yom Kippur, the end of Shabbos, but the person's intention clearly was otherwise, so to over here. His intention really wasn't, unless you take this gift, I ask myself to get hana'ah from you. No, his intention was to give cover to his friend, and the friend could therefore say, no, I'm honored by what you offered, and therefore the neder isn't chal. Likewise, v'chein omel chaver, if a person says to his friend, now here, it's almost the opposite. He says, I constantly give you, this is how we learned it earlier in the Masechta, I constantly give you gifts, and you never give me anything, so koneh, I ask of myself, shat nenesli, that you shouldn't get any more hana'ah from me, unless you give me a gift. In enat ba, denosin livni, unless you give my child, and again, we're talking about a situation where the child is a dependent of his, until you give my child, kur shel chitin, this 30 saws worth of chitin, you give me the nice present, I'm constantly giving you, I'm asking you to get an offer from me unless you give me this gift. So Rav Meir in this situation says, Omer, Asur, in fact, this friend who never gives the gifts is Asur to get an offer from the friend who gives the gifts, Achi Yiten, until he gives him back a gift. In other words, this neder is chal, according to Rav Meir, until the guy gives the 30 saw, the kur of chitin and the shtei chav yoshayayin to the other person. The Chachamim say no. He obviously didn't intend that. The Chachamim no. Av ze yochol lohofer es nidro. The person who said you're also to get an offer for me until you give me such a big gift can go and be made for his nedr shalopi chacham. He doesn't even have to go to Talmud Chacham. It falls off by itself because he can save yomalo. It's as if I got it. Hare ani kilus gabalti. Whatever sichsuch they had, whatever caused them to make this nedr, so they make up, and he says, okay, it's as if I got the 30 saw of wheat and the 2 barrels of wine, and therefore you don't owe it to me anymore, and therefore the nedr falls apart. It's as if I got it means the same thing as if he actually got it, and the nedr therefore isn't chal. So here's another example of a person's intention being different than what he actually said, and we go by his intention. This is consistent with everything that we said till now, that bin Adarim, we go after Loshon Bnei Adam. And the Mishnah concludes with the following two cases. Hayu Masaribo, that's the gears that we have, but if you look in the Bach, he says Hayu Masarvimbo. So people were pressuring someone, Hayu Masarvimbo, Lossays Basachoso. Everybody was telling him, no, go marry the daughter of your sister. In other words, go marry your niece. Now, in the Torah, there is a mitzvah for a person to marry his niece. That's fallen by the wayside for various reasons, some of them are which are, it's somewhat dangerous from a genetic point of view to marry your niece. But in any event, this is fallen by the wayside, but there is a concept of a mitzvah to go and marry your niece. So people were pressuring him, go and marry his niece, go and marry his niece, marry his sister's daughter. And he says, I don't want to. Omar, he says, Konim, it should be like a carbon to me, she nanis liliolim, that she can never get an offer from me. In other words, I won't be able to marry her. The Mefarish explains, the Ibn Maskel, that l'shem ishus, l'shem ishus, she nodar shelo tenem imenu derech ishus. What his intention really was, what I asked herself to have tashmish with me. In other words, I'm not going to marry her. So that's really what he meant, even though he used the lashon, she's never allowed to get an offer from me. She nanis liliolim. So in this situation, we'll see, his nether isn't really what he said, it's what he intended, and his intention was just not to marry her, but she could get hana'ah from him, as we'll see in the Mishnah. Or if he said to a wife that he was going to divorce, the man is divorcing his wife, and he says, Omer, it should be an Isser Konim, Ishti Nanis Lilolim, she's never allowed to get hana'ah from me again, so he obviously only meant for Tashmish purposes, I'm divorcing her, that's it, we're no longer husband and wife. I'm not going to marry my niece, I'm no longer going to marry my ex-wife, so in that situation, Hare Elu, these two women, even though use the lashon that they're never allowed to get hana'ah from him, mutaros laying on the slow, they're allowed to get hana'ah from him because his intention only was shelo niskavin zeh el l'shem ishus, l'shem ishus. He only intended over here not to have relations with her. In other words, I'm not going to marry my niece, I'm not going to marry my ex-wife, and that's what he meant when he said they're also to get hana'ah from him l'olam. It didn't mean anything other than hana'ah of tashmish, but they would be allowed to go and get all other types of hana'ah from him. That never was his intention. And the final case of the Mishnah, and this will conclude the 8th parak, and the Mishnah says, Hoy masari b'chaveiro sheyochal etzlo. Reuven is pushing and begging Shimon to go and eat by him. He's pressuring him to go and eat by him. So Omer, so Shimon says, Konam leveischa sheni nichlas. I asked myself to go into your house. Or he says, Tipas tzonein sheni toim loch. He says, I asked myself to even have a drop of cold water from you. So that's not what he intended. He just was tired of being pressured to come over for lunch, and he said, I asked myself to go to your house, or I asked myself to even get a drop of cold water from you. So in this situation, that's not what he intended. He just didn't want to come over to him for lunch. So he's allowed to go into his house. That's not called that the Isser, the konim that he said, should be that he can't even enter his house now, even though he said, I'm not going to get hana'ah from you. I won't go into your house. Or that he said, is not allowed to go and even have a drink of cold water. So he's allowed to. He's allowed to because that's not what he meant. Why? Shalom niskabin. Again, the theme of this Mishnah is that you go by after Loshim Bnei Adam, what they intended, and not what the actual word said. Shalom niskabin zeh, when he said, I asked myself to go into your house, I asked myself to have a glass of cold water for you, his intention was, Shalom niskabin zeh ela l'shum achila ushasiya. He only was intending a large meal. So as the Mufari says, I'm a sorry bow, ela l'achila ushtiya hamiruba. And his intention was, I'm not coming over to you for this big lunch meal, but I can go into your house and get a glass of water from you. And when he said, he only was intending, he wasn't saying, I asked myself to get it all from you. It's just, I'm not going to have a big meal by you. That's what he meant, and therefore, a little meal he could have. He could enter into the house, he could have a drink of water, no problem. And as the Ran adds as well, in the Maskel, he never intended literally the words that he said. It was the concept, I won't have a huge meal by you, but to enter your house or to go and have a drink of water for you, I never intended that, and therefore, even though the actual literal words meant that I can't enter your house, I can't have a drink of water from you, that wasn't his intention, and therefore the nether doesn't take effect on that. With this, we conclude the 8th parak. Hadron lecha kodem yayim, hadron lecha kodem yayim, hadron lecha kodem yayim. Yitzhak Hashem will start the 9th parak tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir. Have a wonderful day.